to Horse Friends Live on Facebook. We have exactly the same topic as yesterday evening. We are speaking tonight about laterality. And I'm really excited that we could do that both in German and in English, because for me, this is such an important topic that actually every horse owner should have heard about. And it is putting a lot of things into a new perspective. So therefore, I'm very grateful that we can talk about this again tonight with the group that is doing a lot of research on this topic in the recent years. And I can just tell you a little bit from my own experience, because Isabel, who was yesterday in the German podcast with us, she has been giving a lecture 2 years ago on the Equidemia Summit. And the summit is often a few years ahead. And when I listened to her lecture, I had so many moments where I thought, wait, of course. Yeah, that makes sense. And it was also shaking my personal picture of natural crookedness a little bit upside down. And therefore, I hope that all of you are getting a lot of aha moments tonight. And you are very welcome to ask questions in the chat. I will sometimes be so impolite to just look down on my phone that I'm trying to collect all the questions that are coming into the chat. And then I'm saying hello to Kate and Constanze, who are here with me tonight. And I will just struggle a little moment with my Zoom and add her, them. Ah, there's Kate. And there's Constanze. And there am I. I'll just say hello. Welcome to the live show. Welcome to Horse Friends. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us.
Just so we can pick up everybody who doesn't know you, can you give a very short introduction about yourself? Kate, could you start maybe? Because
yes, sure.
We don't know you yet.
Yes, so as you said, my name is Kate. I many years ago studied psychology at St. Andrews University, and then I went into a career as a journalist, so psychology sort of was still relevant, but in a different context. And later on, I'd always ridden, and I got a horse who was very difficult. And I found an American trainer who came over to help me with her. And he pointed out to me the difference between the left and right side of the horse. And it was like the scales fell. Why have I never seen this before? Why isn't everybody talking about it? Because once I knew, I saw it everywhere. And everybody and everybody else who was having problems, I was often thinking, this is actually because you're not understanding it's different on that side of the horse. So that was what set me on the road to research, because people were telling me I was completely nuts, and they were probably right, but not in this particular case. And that led me to Constanze, funnily enough, over an internet forum. And we started working together, thankfully, because it would have never got published otherwise. And we've been working together ever since on laterality and some other fields as well, including social learning and various behavior issues with horses.
Wow. And when was that?
Oh, my goodness. I think we first got in touch around about 2008, was it?
We published in 2008, so it must have been 2007.
Oh, yeah, yes, before that. Yes, indeed. Yes, long, long time ago.
Oh, very nice. Very cool.
We've been friends and colleagues ever since.
And Constanze, what are you usually doing when you're not sitting in a podcast with us?
Yeah, so my normal life is being a professor for equine management or horse management. And I'm teaching at a university in the south of Stuttgart, in Nürtingen. It's just a small applied university. And I studied veterinary science or veterinary medicine, and then switched to biology. And there I started with all the cognitive aspects of mostly social cognition. So what do horses know about their social environment? And yeah, and started with laterality when I got to know Kate. And I also thought she's totally crazy, so I can I can support this. She asked me whether she could have a look at all my videos and reanalyze them in terms of looking at laterality. And it's like, oh, that's a crazy idea, but let's see what she wants to do. And that's how I got into it.
Okay, so somehow you got impressed. Sounds like it. I don't think that you're crazy. I think you're ahead of your time.
Thank you.
Welcome.
totally caters, because certainly Kate is working on this topic for such a long time already. So it's really impressive.
Really impressive. So, and it was your horse trainer that set you on that list?
Yes, a gentleman called Richard Thompson, who's a student, or what was a student of Buck Bannerman and Bray Hunt.
And he
said something that had come through that side, through the natural horsemanship side. But Richard had a background also in medical studies, and he was particularly interested in the science side of it. And that was why he'd sort of particularly picked up on this thing. And we started talking about it, and I thought, well, this is really, really important, because people are, it's dangerous. If you don't know what this is, you can be so much safer, rather, if you do know what it is. Because you recognize when things are going wrong, whoops, this is all to do with the stress and the side of the horse I'm on. And you can start to work with it in a much more logical, sympathetic way to the horse.
That makes totally sense. But for everybody, you know, we have been talking so much about laterality now. So I feel that we are quite familiar with the topic, but I guess that most people who will look at this video have never heard the word before. So can you please, just in a few sentences, explain out what is laterality at all?
So maybe that's my topic again, as the professor in the meeting. Yeah, so we have three aspects of laterality. So the first one is basically it's crookedness, and it's more or less innate, because people, but horses are born crooked already. So we see that their body is just not similar on the left and the right side. This is the first aspect. The second is motor laterality. This is close to handedness. Like, also, we are right or left-handed, and horses could be right or left-footed. And the third aspect is sensory laterality. So this is not known to many people. So we, also humans and horses and almost any animal, have a preference for using sensory organs in certain situations. So it's almost the same like using hands. You also have a preference for using a certain eye.
And why is that? Why do we have a preference for using a certain eye?
Yeah, maybe I can continue a little. So it's basically because the brain needs information, and the brain is telling us which side of the brain, which side of the sensory organs we should use. So, and information is transported to the contralateral side, to the other side. So the left eye is connected to the right brain hemisphere, and the right more or less to the left. And so we have task separation between the brain hemispheres. So if we are, for example, if we're a little bit afraid of something, we're in a flight mode, and then our right brain hemisphere is more active, and the left eye needs to collect the information. And if we are just chilled down and cool, and we just try to make a cognitive decision, then the left hemisphere is more active, and the left hemisphere asks for information from the right eye or the right ear.
That is super interesting, this laterality, the sidedness in the brain. And is that the same for humans and horses?
Yeah, it's the same in any animal. And in humans and most mammals, we don't have separation between the hemispheres, so they can transfer also information from left to right. But for birds, for example, it's not. Birds have a clear separation between the hemispheres. And for example, if you train chickens, if you tell them just take the green piece or something like this, and you cover the right eye, and you train them with the left eye, and then cover the left and open the right, they will not remember anymore what they learned, because they do not transfer the information between the brain hemispheres. But horses and humans do, like most mammals.
Super interesting. Kate is nodding. Would you like to add something?
Well, it used to be thought, and I think this is a big step towards it that's been made in the last 30 years. It used to be thought that the information didn't transfer from one side to the other in horses. Mm-hmm. And when I first started talking about this with Richard, he thought that as well. But then there was a study in California that showed that the information does actually transfer from one side to the other. And that sort of opened up a whole new ball game, because then it was the processing is different on each side. And then it becomes much closer to what we see in people, where it's actually specialization of the brain. It's not that one side doesn't recognize what's going on, that it only goes one way. It's that the brain sifts the information that it wants and says, oh, this is a job for this side, this is a job for this side. And then the preference shows in the laterality.
Wow, this is super interesting. Maybe we should just have a podcast on that topic too. I could listen to you for hours talking about that. Mm-hmm. So Constanze just said, you know, we have these three different factors. And then I would like to ask you, laterality, you're splitting into motor laterality, so the handedness, and then sensory laterality. But what then is unborn crookedness? What is the crookedness? Why is the horse shaped in one direction?
Why is a good question. We actually don't really know. But the wild guess, there are two theories. First theory is because organs are not, they're also uneven distributed over the body. So, for example, the heart is more to the left and things like this. This is one theory. And the second is, the embryo is also crooked already in the womb of the dam. And so maybe they have a certain direction they prefer to lie. And this will also then already change their body or affect their body. Actually, there is no study that really shows this. But I don't think it's so important, because what we see right now is that when foals are born, they're crooked. And we can see the feet or the legs are not the same. They're sometimes bent from the longitudinal axis. They maybe they're bent to the right, left, or they have an S shape, like also some humans do. And many things are not the same on the left and on the right. But this is actually something we cannot change, because it's inborn, and that's the way it is. We can have to accept this and work on the other two aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. And then we probably also have a few just lesions, probably, right? During birth, and just in like in humans, in foals as well, right?
Maybe.
I mean, life happens, right?
Yeah, sure. Like there's also a big discussion right now, because I don't know about the other countries, but Germans are a little crazy and they start breeding foals or horses with longer legs all the time. Mm-hmm. So legs are getting longer and longer, and the throats of the foals are not long enough to reach the grass. And so what they have to do is they have to do a large step to reach the grass. And then right now it's also the debate whether this enhances again the whole topic of laterality and crookedness.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
Yeah.
Good breeding. Good breeding. You know, it's always you're specializing on something because you have a biography and life happens. And I have been specializing on pain in the recent years because I bought four youngsters when I got pregnant. I thought, would be nice to have a youngsters to start with when my child is old enough and starting kindergarten. And three of them are having genetic diseases. So... I just last week got the diagnosis from my Frederiksborg that the cervical spine is completely destroyed from C4 to C7. That is explaining why he's sometimes just dropping with all four feet on the ground. So the only thing I am wishing for personally is horses that are healthy enough to train. So breeders that are breeding horses that are actually healthy enough to train, that would be lovely. Just a little sidetrack, but there we are coming directly to my question. And that is, when we are talking about these differences, is there a way how we can make a difference in between this is the pain posture or pain compensation, or this is crookedness or laterality? Do you have a trick for us where we can, you know, when we are looking at a horse, where we can...
Unfortunately not, no.
The only thing I could... So the question is whether we observe this at the moment or whether we can observe changes. So actually, the crookedness in terms of being innate should not change. But if it's a pain or also a management or training aspect, then it should change on the also depending on the day, because also horses feel a little bit better or worse on one day and the other. So this may be an indication that it's not really crookedness, but it has to do with some another factor. Then the horse has some sort of stress, and pain is also stress.
Yes, of course.
I think we've jumped ahead of ourselves a little bit here, because the thing that's really important here is that what we've also found out comparatively recently is that stress in general terms tends to shift laterality to the left. And that's both the sensory and the motor laterality. The motor laterality changes a little bit more slowly. The sensory laterality can change in seconds. And the length of the change is very variable. So you've got the fixed part of it that is the crookedness of the horse. And then you've got this very elastic laterality that can change for all sorts of reasons, but particularly because of stress. And coming back to your question about the pain, this is where there's a sort of an intersection between the two, because you've got to sort out what exactly are you looking at. So it's very difficult to say this is because of pain, this is because of laterality. And you really need the vet to come and say this horse has no pain. Therefore, we're probably looking at a behavioral issue that is something to do with, it could be the training, it could be the management, it could be all sorts of things that's exerting the stress. And that would also determine to a large extent the type of laterality change that you're looking at.
Interesting. Ah, I thought you would have a shortcut for it.
Sorry. come back in another 10 or 15 years.
I will do that. I take your word for it. Thank you. But then let's just stay in stress, because I was just last weekend in Oslo organizing a course there, and we had 8 horses that were traveling to a clinic venue and were participating in the course. And now I was preparing for this podcast and had your book in my hand luggage in the airplane, was reading in it. And then I was sitting in the course, and each time when one of the horses was entering, I thought, wow, this is science in motion, because we saw all the horses that were entering the venue and were looking with their left eye and were trying to look at the audience and were wondering if this is a safe place here. And exactly. That was so interesting.
Exactly. Usually in a stress situation, the horse will want to look at the stressor with the left eye first. It may alternate as it gets used to the environment, but usually the left eye is preferred initially. So that can also give you a clue as to what the stressor actually is. And in the testing situation, we sometimes use novel objects and see which side the horse will approach it on. So something that's scary, with a colourful umbrella or a big box with fluttery things on it, whatever it is. And you'll find the more highly strung the horse is, the more temperamental it is, the more likely it is to look at it with the left eye first. So that will actually tell you something about what's going on in the horse's mind when you see that reaction.
Actually, your unicorn was the best. Kate used to have an inflatable. Kate used to have an inflatable unicorn. We tested the horses with this. We got the strongest reaction on this one. I'm still missing it. So can you send it over again?
Unfortunately, it was one of these blow up swimming pools that float things in the shape of the unicorn. So I thought, great, we'll take that to the Equitana and use that as a novel object. And it really worked. They'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, the question was, when we have to test horses at the Equitana and everything is new and all the objects, everything, all the things around, how can we still shock the horses with a novel object? The unicorn worked.
Unicorns, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard about unicorns. I just saw, do you know this funny Facebook video where somebody is having this dinosaur costume and running after horses? I can offer myself as a dinosaur if you're coming to the next Equitana. So, but this is also very interesting, because you could still see a reaction even in that environment.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that's true. It's really interesting. Yes. Mm.
So were you doing that last Aquitana or something that you had a setup there, test station for laterality?
Well, we were starting, we were just about to publish our first book, and laterality was the topic of the last chapter. And we were asked to have a presentation that combines to our book. And then we said, okay, laterality maybe is one we will raise some interest.
Super interesting. And how I would have expected that the horses are pretty flooded in that environment, and still you got a reaction. Do you have an explanation for that?
I think it's even because they're flooded.
Interesting.
Because also, as I told yesterday already, when we started the project, we got some information from an American Mustang trainer. And she told us when the Mustangs come in, they're extremely lateralized. They don't accept the people, or they accept people just on one side. But taking the fact what they just experience is like being taken in from the wild, separated from their friends, fenced in a small area. They must be super stressed in this moment. So, and actually in this situation, they're really, really strongly emotionally aroused, and they show strong emotional reactions if you confront them with anything, with persons or with objects.
Yeah. I just noticed there was an interesting question popped up that's disappeared, so I can't see who it was.
Yeah.
Who asked, but about a horse that doesn't have its left eye.
And exactly. Let me read out the question so the audience can follow us. Andrea is asking, I am thinking about a horse that lost its left eye. How would that influence its behavior, brain, other than a horse not having the right eye?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that, Andrea, because in fact, my horse that I had the problems with was blind in her left eye. And in fact, what we found was that even though she couldn't see out of that eye, she would still prefer the left side in a stress situation. So she would still want to put me on the left. This is another sign that we'll come to in a minute, that they prefer to have the person on the left. And she would still be inclined to put something new on the left. So some kind of processing, I can't explain it exactly, but the response is still very similar. They don't seem to switch over and use the right eye. They still use the right eye, it seems, for scanning around and looking for where am I going to escape to if this thing turns out to be a crocodile. I think we underestimate the senses of horses. Eyes are part of the picture, but they're much more sensitive in hearing. They have much more sensitive smell than we do. And they almost seem to have like a sort of a sixth sense. They just kind of know that the stuff is happening. So that the fact that a horse is blind on one side or the other won't necessarily affect those responses is the short answer.
And it also actually also they had a good an interesting story also from the same Mustang trainer. She told us about her training of she also told us that a Mustang came in also blind on one side, and he wouldn't accept her going on the side where he still had a good eye. So he also wanted her to stay on the blind side.
Yeah. It's something that's hardwired in the brain. We really don't know exactly how it works yet. We're working on that. But no, in answer to your question, Andrea, usually you would probably get exactly the same response, even if the horse is blind on one side.
Wow. That is really interesting. And Andrea, I hope this is answering your question. Otherwise, you're welcome to ask the next one. And I'm monitoring questions here. So we can also, you know, you can just, if a question pops up, just put it in the chat and we pick it up at the end. So I guess that the moment you're starting to see laterality, it's suddenly everywhere. We can't unsee it once we are seeing it, right? How was that for you, Kate?
Well, as I say, it was an absolute eye-opener. And I think the first thing that I now see when I go out and teach people very often, because I specialise in horses that are difficult, or rather people who are horses who have people problems, that usually it's difficult to get on the right side. A horse that's unsettled, that is stressed about something, doesn't want you on the right. And we see this in leading it. You can just lead it up the path and back again on each side, and you'll very quickly see if there's a large difference. Now, I should qualify that and say there is a difference anyway. However well trained, however relaxed the horse is, you're probably still going to see a slight difference between the left and the right. But if that difference is big, if the horse doesn't want you on the right, or it goes nuts and it starts trying to push you or run past you or duck behind you when you're on the right, then you've got a stress situation. So that's one example of where you see it. You also see it in lunging. And I often have people write to me and say, oh, help, my horse doesn't lunge. And I say, do you mean it doesn't lunge to the right? And they say, well, actually, yes. And this happens very, very frequently. And if you even look back, this is in the literature. This was actually mentioned by Podaisky in relation to the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, that they're recommended to work the horses on the left first because the right is often more difficult when you're lunging. And I think a lot of people have had this experience. And then the question is, how do you deal with that? And I think the answer to that is that you've got to come right back to square one and say, is this horse accepting me at all on the right-hand side? And if it isn't, if it gets nervous, if you're grooming on that side, or if it just looks at you with the right eye, and you say, just draw the head a little bit to the side, get it to look at you with the right eye. And if it's going, you've possibly got a problem. You need to work up to this very gently and don't give up. The way to, we've also got to be very careful. It also then becomes a temptation to say, oh, never mind, horse. OK, I'll stay on the left. Then you're actually reinforcing the behavior that you don't want. So you need to gently keep working on this. Maybe come over the neck, stroke the other stroke, the right hand side for standing on the left. Go through, stroke it under the neck, stroke it over the face, and move your way around. And then as you work on that, gradually get to leading on the right, that gets better, then you make the circle bigger, and before you know it, you're lunging on the right. But you need to take it down into these very small increments so that the horse can process and actually overcome its anxiety about having you on the right. So that's lunging is another classic example. And another one that we don't see quite as much, but you do still see, is in picking the feet out. And a lot of farriers will tell you this, the right hind is very often the most difficult one. The left fore is usually relatively easy. If there's going to be a problem, it's very often on the right hind. I don't have a proper explanation for that, other than that you're on the right side of the horse and maybe it wants its right hind to defend itself. I don't know, but that's quite often the case.
We need the hoof specialist with us.
We need the hoof specialist, yes. But I have spoken to farriers about this and they say, oh, yeah, it's always that one.
I'm not a hoof specialist, but I'm a nutritionalist. And I can tell you that a lot of horses with gastric ulcer have shown very big difficulties in picking up the right hind feet. They are very, you know, because they're shifting weight on the left front, and that is painful. Mm-hmm. That just something I'm typically seeing. So when somebody is coming to me for behavioral training and they're saying, my horse doesn't, you know, they never want to give the left front feet and the right hind feet. And I'm always starting to, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, don't you? Maybe you should take it to the vet.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And if the vet says there's nothing wrong, then you've got a behavior thing in a
sense. No, exactly. Yeah, but that's always a very early, very early indicator. Constanze, what do you think? I know that you have a very personal attraction to that topic too, and that is more about the ridden context, not the longing context. We are looking at laterality.
Yeah. So I trained eventing when Kate approached me the first time, and I used to have a thoroughbred mare, and she was really, really nervous and really difficult to train. And actually, when she got nervous, she was really bent. The whole body was just bent from the ears to the tail. And I couldn't even balance on her anymore. But if you tried to really push her, and it got worse all the time. So the only thing that really helped is just tell her, okay, everything is okay. Just relax, calm down. And in the moment she started breathing normally, just relaxing, she was almost straight again. And this really actually convinced me that there is more behind this as the normal crookedness, which I was trained to correct all the time, all the years before, and sometimes didn't even know how to do this.
You know, that is, I'm a dressage trainer, so of course we are training for straightness, but what is that telling us when we are considering straightness and straightness training in our horses, Constanze?
Yeah, I think straightness training is one of the central aspects of dressage training, and it's one of the central demands we should really work on. But actually, if you read the training instructions, many of them tell you you don't have to eliminate them. You should just try to smooth it or try to balance your horse and try to really train the horse, the muscles, and try the balance of the horse itself. And so maybe this is one of the aspects we should never forget, because some people, also me, I just overinterpreted this straightness training, because I was like many others. It's like, oh my goodness, my horse is crooked. I have to do something. And I was just sitting on the horse and trying to push everything. Like, and then you try to use spurs and all these kind of things, and the horse gets more and more excited or stressed, and then it gets always worse. And but if you don't understand that this is also connected to laterality, you're basically helpless, because you cannot correct it by trying to push your horse.
So the mental aspect is just very important in that, Kate.
Yeah, Constanze is absolutely right. And I think if we look at an analogy with people, because that's where we're most familiar, if you look at dancers, footballers, sports people who train their whole lives to try and be equally strong on both sides, equally well coordinated on both sides, however good they become, they always have a favoured side. And we're in the middle of the football at the moment. Ronaldo, probably one of the greatest footballers ever, still prefers his left foot. He still scores more goals with his right foot than his left. And that's despite a whole career in which he's recognised as being one of the most two-sided players there is, but he still kicks most of his goals on with the right foot. Messi does it with the left. If they can't get rid of their laterality, how do we expect a horse to do it?
Yeah, that also has to deal with the rider on top, right?
Well, yes, indeed. That's a separate issue. And very often it is to do with the rider. But even taking the rider out of the equation, laterality is something that is part of the way the horse is, just the same as it's part of the way we are. And you can't override that. And as Constanze says, you can work to bring it into better balance so that the horse can be very successful in whatever athletic discipline you want it to be. But you can't erase the fact that it's always going to have a side that's going to be a little bit easier. It's a little bit more coordinated, the side it's going to prefer. That's always going to be there.
And maybe that is also not necessary.
Exactly. Welcome it. It's really, really good on one side. So welcome on that side and maybe it'll transfer.
I always like it when my horses, you know, I'm usually quite good on the right lead and my horses are often quite good on the left lead. And I honestly have to say, I'm picking my horses a little bit for that, because I think it's helpful if we can help each other, if we are both shitty on one lead.
Yeah,
it's more difficult.
Yeah, actually, that's been the case with my thoroughbred mare, because we were just enhancing our handedness. So,
yeah,
and also our stress level.
Let's be on straight together. So, if the stress level is so important, do you have some ideas how we can, you know, approach that stress level? How can we raise resilience?
Kate, do you want to start with this?
That's your topic, isn't it, Kate?
Well, I think it's really what I was saying earlier, that you need to recognize at the very, very early stages when your horse is getting out of balance. It's all to do with the relaxation. If the horse is not relaxed, the easiest way to see that it's not relaxed, even if it's the sort of horse that internalizes everything, is going to be that the laterality is going to change a little bit. So keep looking at this. Is it the same when I'm on this side as when I'm on that side? And this is a little bit different from the athletic performance on each side. This is a mental balance. Because without the mental balance, you're not going to get the physical balance. So there's no real, if you bypass that, you're on a hiding to nothing with the rest of your training, because if you haven't got the mental balance, you're never going to get the physical balance, because it's always going to be pushing against it. The stress laterality in the mind is always going to override whatever you try to do. As Constanza said, you can use all the spurs and martingales and whips in the world. It's just going to make it worse. So you need to take a little bit more time at those initial stages before you even get on the horse. And I don't just mean get on it for the first time. I mean, get on it every time. Just check before you get on. Are we okay on both sides? Do I have that relaxation on both sides? Do I have that softness, the softness in the eye, that the horse isn't eyeballing you and go, oh my God, what's going to happen next? But it's actually saying, hey, what are we going to do today? And when you get that expression, that the horse is open and relaxed and willing, then you can have a successful training session. It might only take you a couple of minutes. It might take you a couple of hours the first time, but it'll get shorter and shorter each time. And at the end of the day, it's quicker than fighting it and never getting there. So break it all down into the little tiny increments. Can it look at me on with the right eye? Does it let me on the right-hand side? Can I do all these different things, whether it's, I don't know, throwing a rope over its back or waving a flag over its head or whatever it is? Can I do all of that on both sides? And then you've actually taken the shortcut on the physical side, because the horse is prepared, it's ready.
Ah, thank you, Kate. That was it's very good that you're pointing it out like this. With my students, I'm often working with a worry cup or with a worry cup model. And now you have just added a very nice indicator for how full is the worry cup.
Sorry, for the what?
You have added a very nice indicator to say how full is the worry cup, actually. Is
the worry cup. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
So, because it's such a, yes. has a good plasticity, is that everybody knows this picture of the worry cup that is flooding over. Mm. So I think that works pretty beautifully also for horses.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah,
and now we have a very good indicator, because we can say, okay, if my horse is only wanting me on the left side, is always turning around like this, then probably the worry cup is very full.
Yes.
And we have to figure out why.
Exactly. And sometimes they'll even turn around. So you like this, and they'll turn around to use the left eye to look at you over the back.
Yes.
Don't groom your horse in cross ties, because you're stopping it from doing that, and you need to know.
Before you try to get up.
Before you try to get on it, ideally, yes.
Well, even also, if you consider this for competing, for example, if you're competing on a dressage arena, and you will have the chance to be inside the arena before, so just show your horse the outside of the arena, start with the left eye outside, and then change to the right side. And also for jumping, it's the same. In most jumping competitions, you've got 2 minutes to show the horses the jumps, and then show them all the jumps with the left eye first, and then the right eye. So also, if you considering this, helps a lot. And most people actually really do this correct, because if they're good sensitive riders, they already feel that it's more easy to ride right hand in the beginning and then left hand, if they have the chance to prepare the horse for the competition. And so this is like many things in our riding education that we just kind of learned it works better that way. And it has a lot to do with laterality. And as you said before, when you have a show like you just had in Oslo, I remember. Mm-hmm. And what we see in many places, they're not very well constructed, because many places horses have to come in and have to face the people or the audience with their right eye. And then they want to change. They want to turn, especially when they're young horses. And that's difficult, because then you're starting already with fighting. Really considering this for many areas, also for the sport, would be very helpful for the horse.
I would like to pick up on that, because you have been yesterday telling this very interesting story or issue about that it's getting worse when you are trying to avoid it. So if you are not allowing the horse to look at things from the left perspective, it was building up. The stress level was building up. Do I remember that correctly?
Unfortunately, it's not published because the student made many mistakes in this experiment, but it was quite interesting because at that time when we started the experiment, there were some scientific papers that called for not letting the horse use the left eye, because if they get excited with the left eye, then just start with the right eye. And so, and we wanted to find out what happens if you really don't allow the horse to look at objects or test situations like this from the left eye. And we just had a simple color discrimination. They should just learn to use either a yellow or blue Schublade. I forgot the name. And if we covered the horse the left eye for learning this, they got totally nuts. Most of them dropped out of the experiment. And they didn't even try to learn the difference between the blue and the yellow draw. And the horses we covered the right eye was not so bad. They were also not performing as well as they have both eyes, but they started learning. So from this, we got the impression that it's just very important that the horse has the chance to choose the eye. He wants to look at things from the first approach and also later on, because he needs to check, oh, this is dangerous, because the horse is a flight animal. So most important for him, the first instance is to check, do I have to run away? And so they check the things. And then if they find out, oh, no, it's just a draw with food or something, and then they're ready to look at it with the right eye. But if they cannot do this discrimination, they get absolutely stressed so that they cannot perform anymore.
Super interesting, super interesting. Kate, would you like to add something?
Well, I think Constanza pretty much said it all. But I think we need to bear in mind we're always tend to compare it to ourselves. The horse's eyes are right out on the side of its head, and it can see almost all the way around on each side in a monocular field. It's binocular field with both eyes is actually pretty small. So the difference between, from the horse's point of view, between something being on one side and being on the other is a lot bigger than it is for us. And I think we need to understand that they need to use the eyes separately. We don't do that, although our brains do specialize that, because our eyes look straight forward. We're not really aware of that. We're not aware that one side is more comfortable than the other because everything's straight ahead anyway. But for a horse, it's not. And they will make a very clear distinction about which side something is. And I think it's important to remember that when you're handling a horse, just as Constanza says, you've got to allow it to explore both sides. Usually it's going to be the left first, but just very occasionally you get horses that are the other way around. And when you get one of those, then the whole process flips. They actually want everything on the right. So you've got to read the horse in front of you. Most of the time it's going to be the left. Occasionally, it might be the right. So be ready to work with whatever the horse is showing you it needs at the time.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I already yesterday told the story of one of our training horses that we have on the farm, who the first 8 months when he was here was very difficult to handle. And wherever I was on the farm, you could read on his body posture, because we have a big farm. He was always turning with me, so he was only looking at me from his left eye. Was also the first horse I met that is running away when you're coming with a food bucket. So he had made his experiences, but after, I think it was 8 months, I managed to get a halter on him. And when we took him to the vet, then was the first thing, halter on the trailer vet. We found a lot of things that were wrong with him, but the worst thing was that he had the milk teeth, baby teeth weren't falling out. There was a big lesion in his jaw that has created an abscess that was going all the way up to the trigeminal nerve. He must have had incredible pain. And then we took out the two teeth that were the biggest problem and, cleaned that cleaned that infection. And after that, he shifted and was looking at me first from the left and then from the right. Within a couple of days. That was so interesting. And that really got me hooked on this topic.
Oh, you're not a convert.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. There I'm having another question for you, because Yesterday we were talking also about these two fantastic books that you made. What about an English version? Can we expect an English version anytime soon?
We hope so.
We hope so. So I know that many of, as I'm very engaged in making publishing books, I know that I have a few publishers in my audience who are watching us probably sooner or later too. That would be a book to pick up and translate into English.
Well, the problem actually is that the publishers we are with right now, they, of course, they have the rights for translating, but they're not really making any efforts to translate it. So what we would have to do is just write a new book. So, but sure, that's possible because the topic is developing. So we can just take in the new developments and discuss some other aspects too. And but it needs to be slightly different. But yeah, so our intention is to write an English version because it's really needed and it's very often it's asked for on the market. The Laterality, but also the other book. So let's see. So yeah. we keep pushing the publisher, but
it's a work in progress. I'm prepared to put the legwork in to get an English version, or not an English version, an English book, let's say, out there, because as Constanza said, I think it's really needed that there Absolutely. Is so little for people who don't want to actually read the scientific papers, and they're not very digestible. They're not exactly light reading for most people if you're not used to the kind of language and the format for these things. And we need it out there in language that everybody can understand in a different format.
And I think you did a really fantastic job with the Laterality book. So everybody who's here in German, you should go and get it. but also with the other book, Forschung trifft Pferd. Mm-hmm. Was that the correct title? I really enjoyed the book very much. And I think actually it should be standard lecture for everybody who is a horse trainer or who's handling horses, because it's, I personally believe that we would have much less trouble in horse training and in eventing if more people would read a book like this. Then we would maybe, you know, not fight with fixed reins and other stuff, but starting to understand the horse, that would really, really help us. We just have. Yeah.
Thanks for the flowers.
Yeah, yes. Welcome. Welcome. I really mean it like this. I just had a couple of weeks ago, we had Crispin Parelius in the podcast, who is happened to be a former neighbor of my husband. Was very funny. Do you know who that is? That's a guy who's making the blue tongue pictures. He's not very popular. Oh. But funny enough, my husband and him have been traveling to the Blue House conference together a couple of years. So he's been living in our neighborhood. so we have been talking about photographing this, and it's an ugly topic. I don't want to go into that, but I really truly believe that people who are having horses because they like them. If they just would understand a little bit more about background and behavior and things, we would see less problems. Yeah, absolutely. Then they would maybe stop to fight for straightness or for something.
Yeah. And it's not just the competition riders and the trainers, it's the everyday riders, it's the people who are just packing out in the woods a couple of times a week. Everybody needs to be aware of this for their safety and the welfare of their horses as well.
And that is 90% of the horse owners.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah. That's 90%. So this is the big crowd who can really do something and change something. So before we are getting stuck here chatting away, just because it's so nice to chat away with you guys, and for giving people out there some, you know, tools with that they can work, can you maybe discuss with us the setup that you are working with when you're testing Laterality, because this is quite useful also for the normal horse owner. It's easy to rebuild and to work with, right?
Maybe Kate can start with the leading part because she already explained this a little bit before.
Yes, as we mentioned before, very, very simple. Just take your horse, lead it on a loose rope, one direction, the other direction, ideally in walk and trot, but you'll probably see it just in walk, and then change sides and do it on the other side. And in a lot of cases, even with horses that you think are absolutely fine and there's no difference, mm-hmm. when you're on the right, the horse will try to duck behind you and will suddenly magically appear on the other side. This happened to Constanza in the test that we did. The horse was going beautifully and suddenly zoop, it disappeared and then popped round on the other side. So things like that are just a clue that maybe there's something there that isn't quite right. If it's extreme, the horse is really going wild and it's pushing you and it's jumping around, then you know that you have got a big stress situation going on there. That's the leading one, which is probably the simplest one for anyone to do on their own. You don't need any helpers or anything. You just do it. You can also use the novel object test, which we also mentioned earlier, that you just use something that the horse hasn't seen before. You can improvise something, whatever, let it approach it and see which side it approaches. That's the one we use in the scientific environment because it's more objective. You've always got the risk with the leading one in the scientific environment that the person leading is having an influence on the horse.
Of course, yeah.
And with the novel object, excuse me, in the experimental environment, that's probably better. But for people working with this every day, the leading test is absolutely fine. And then there are tests on motor laterality. Constanza, would you like to talk about those?
Yeah. So motor laterality, I think the most easiest is like just observing the grazing stance. So you can just take your horse on a pasture and just observe which foot they put in front. And usually if they're left footed, they try always to put the left foot in front. And sometimes they just take the right one just very, very short and just continue with the left one again. So what you do is just let your horse eat some grass and just every 30 seconds, just write down which foot is in front. If you do this for 5 minutes, for example, then very strongly left lateralized horse will have 8 counts for the left and maybe 2 for the right. Or if it's really really very well balanced, then it's 5 on the left and 5 on the right, something like this. So this is really easy to observe and it's quite reliable. So most of the publications, also the scientific publications, use the grazing stance for showing the motor laterality. And another one is just letting the horse start walking. So you just let him just stand more or less evenly and then just try to make him move. And it would be really good if he reacts on voice command. So so that you don't have to push him or anything, then you would get, also influence his balance. Just tell him walk and then observe which foot he uses for the first step. And also here, strongly left lateralized horses would always try to use the left leg for doing the first step. And also these, the motor laterality changes more slowly than the sensory laterality. So as we had before, the leading, as Kate explained, it can change in the moment. When the horse is just stressed at the moment, you may experience he doesn't want you on the right anymore. You cannot lead him on the right anymore. Motor laterality changes slowly, but also it may change within 1 week. And then you may realize, okay, he is left lateralized very strong. And then you should consider whether there's something wrong in the training, in the housing, whether he's ill or something like this.
There's another element to that as well, that it can also be the first foot starting can also be an indication of the horse's state of mind. Whether it's feeling more optimistic or pessimistic, which is a very interesting aspect because this sort of links up the motor laterality with the psychological side of it, that there is actually a connection there as well. And right-sided horses, the ones that start with their right foot first, are usually more optimistic than the ones that start with the left foot first. But again, that we need a longitudinal study over several months to really test whether that changes. It certainly has as solid as it is now, but we need to look at that over a longer time as well and see how flexible that is over time.
That is so interesting. I've just had a student who has been changing places with the horse, and there we could very clearly see that the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, the horse was very, very, quite stressed and very everything from the left side. And after that, it was leveling out again. That was just, you know, like overnight. We got a question here that I would like to take up because it's fitting in here so well. Because it's regarding the leading test, Kate. Gitti says, my horse also likes me better on the left side. Nevertheless, it would be wise to change the sides from time to time. Or doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gitti, you're so right. If you just stay on the left, you're not really finding out. If it prefers you on that side, it has a reason for it. So you need to change from one side to the other. You don't need to overdo it, but just check that you can still lead on the right and that it's not causing any stress symptoms. You need to see all this in a context, obviously. So how is the horse behaving on this particular day at this time? If you let it decide which side you're going to lead from, you're avoiding the problem. And that might come back to bite you in another context later on.
And also adding up on this is, if you really, there's several trainers that teach that you should change sides very often, which is also very useful because then the horses start connecting information much better. So you start on the better side, always on the left, and then go to the right and just ask this for just a couple seconds or something. Like the horse, if you feel the horse starts feeling tense a little bit, return to the good side. But as more often you do this, you will find out he accepts you on the other side much longer. And we have the experience from, or we have the impression from some preliminary experiments that horses that are really trained both-sided, they really connect the information much better and then start really having a more cognitive approach to many things. And this is actually what we want. We want the horse to start thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't that your company name, Kate? The Thinking Horse?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that very much. yeah, Kitty just says it will be very interesting to observe that. Oh, I get a guess.
I think there were also more questions in the chat.
There were before. No, Kitty said thank you. It will be interesting. I'm waiting for Carrie's question. So, Carrie, if you still have a question, please put it in.
I do, but it's longer. So I wasn't going to keep it all out.
Okay, then please ask it now if you have unmuted yourself already.
Thank you. This has been brilliant so far. Really fascinating. So I just kind of want to paraphrase so I understand what you're sharing. So basically you're saying they don't understand the evolutionary, the genetics yet of why horses have the laterality. And I come from a Hannah Somatics Feldenkrais background, and we in the human body and my own experience of my own work is we are very much different on our left and right sides, and that there is also the evolutionary genetic patterns of that. Often we twist to the right as a way to kind of protect our heart. And there's stuff that goes on in our own human body. So what I'm curious about is how we work with the nervous system and our own horses. And if we see that as reflective, is the nervous system essentially the source? And that's reflected in our thinking, our responsiveness, what's going on in fascia and muscles. And if there's a piece about letting go, about trying to fix the laterality and just meeting the horse where they're at. In the body work I do, we think of something called sensory motor amnesia, which means the brain doesn't really always know where all the body parts are. And sorry, I'm not meaning to go on for too long, but I'm curious about this because you guys are folks that are studying it. And so, like the right hind leg in particular, on a person, we are often less anchored on our right hind leg. It's less connected to our body. It kind of goes off. And I'm wondering in horses if there might be some truth to that as well. And is our journey of training with them to be aware of what's going on in our own nervous system? So we're meeting a prey animal with somebody who's reasonably regulated and under threshold. And if we accept that there is laterality as a truth, and that's part of the process, then meeting them from a neuroplasticity perspective of working with them from our own more conscious nervous system and putting our hands on them if there's body parts that are not connected. Anyway, I'm just finding this really interesting, and I'm really interested in your thoughts about the nervous system, muscles, fascia, and the brain, how you see that as integration. Thank you.
Well, I think this is mostly one for Constanza, but first of all, it's not quite the case that we don't have any idea about the evolutionary side. We sort of do, because this specialization of the two halves of the brain seems to be part of the system that helps horses to survive. It helps keep the group together when they're moving, and it helps, for example, when they're grazing, that they use one eye to look at things that are close and one eye to scan the horizon for any predators who might be turning up. So there is an evolutionary basis for it. With the detail of it, you're quite right, we don't know yet, but we do have some idea of that. As far as the neurological side is concerned, over to you, Constanza.
Yep, this was a long question. So I tried to write down the central aspects of this. Maybe we can start with, in the beginning, you asked whether the horses are comparable to humans in terms of their laterality. And this is actually not the case, because there are some studies on wild living horses, on feral horses, that showed that feral horses and also the young horses Isabel observed for her study are equally left and right-handed. So we have 45% being left-handed and 45% being right-handed and 10% both-handed. So there is a totally different, and so the distribution of handedness in horses is a lot different when horses living in a natural context. And so this already tells us that something happens when horses get more left-sided. And it's interesting because there are some studies on trained horses that publish that older and longer trained horses start to be more and more left-handed. And so science now is guessing more or less that this may be a training effect. Because all the time we observe wild living horses or feral horses, it doesn't, the age doesn't matter. The distribution of left to right handedness is in equilibrium. Mm-hmm. So there must be something wrong if we have a population of horses that are more or less left-handed. So maybe this is the first aspect you were talking about, whether it's the same also in horses and humans. Then maybe we can talk about the neuroplasticity, because this is maybe the next thing that adds up on it. So right now we don't really know when and how laterality gets hardwired in the brain. So we just observe now that young horses, when they come in from a good housing, they're almost in the population and level they're equal, left and right-handed, and then start training them, and they're more and more less left-handed. And from some studies in mice and rats that shocked mice and rats severely when they were, I think, in puberty, something, we have some publication that then the left-handedness becomes hardwired. So we don't have the we lose the neuroplasticity. And this is when the cognitive bias sets in, like Kate explained before, that when then horses become more and more, the left-handed horses become also pessimists. And we right, but these are just observations. What we're missing right now in science, we don't have any scientific study that really studied the animals, no matter which animal, after birth until puberty in a continuum. We just have some studies that showed at 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, and then found differences and found, okay, we have more and more left-handed, but we cannot explain when does it happen and how does it get hardwired or not, which is the next question, which was also we are constantly I'm asked whether it's permanent or not when horses start to be left-handed, or if we return them to good housing, to good training or something, they would be more balanced. So this is future study, I would say. So I would imagine some of it is that we lose part of some of the neuroplasticity, that they will not return to balanced again, but they will become better if we, and this is also what's, there's just one preliminary study that showed that also pessimists become more optimistic if you return them to good house, to a natural group housing again. But for my personal experience, I'm also now observing a sport horse, a Western sport horse, 18-year-old. He is really strongly left-handed, but he is more on an equilibrium on the other laterality aspects. So I cannot tell whether he will also his left-handedness would return to more an equilibrium or not, but. So this is the part about the neuroplasticity. From the brain, as we also talked about yesterday, it's shocking how little we know about the horse's brain. So all we are talking about right now are more or less hypotheses. We, from the behavioral side, from laterality or from measuring physiological parameters like stress hormones, immunoglobulins or something, we are trying to tell what happens in the brain. But there's actually no real card of the horse's brain. We just have some information what may be in the hemispheres or something like this. Also just drawing this information from behavioral observations. What we're missing right now is really some research on the horse brain where we know in which areas horses produce what kind of information. But I'm really hopeful that we will have do some research in this area. I'm just trying to connect to some neuroscientists right now. And I'm really happy because I tried to do this for many years already. And I hope in 10 years I can answer all of your questions. Right now, it's not possible.
Thank you. Thank you very much to both of you. This is such important work. And it's, you know, really for the good of the horses. So I thank you both very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you for your question. I'm really impressed about my students asking very good questions. So really nice. Eli, because I also think this is answering your question. You were asking about how many horses are left-sided and how many horses that are right-sided. I guess that is also answering a little bit your question, at least. And I would like to throw in that yesterday we have been talking about Isabel's PhD thesis. Constanze, would you just shortly, fill the English-speaking audience also in, because that was so interesting for so many.
Yeah, I can. So because Isabel started her PhD with me and we were planning her study together. So for this study, we observed horses coming in from group housing when they were 3 years old, and they were then changed to individual housing. So basically, this is still the traditional way of starting young horses in Germany. They are kept in groups for 3 or 4 years, and then you take them in the stables, every horse in an individual box, and turnout is limited to 1 hour a day. The feed is limited, and social contact is also limited. So basically what happens, the world breaks down for these horses from one day to the other. And this was actually Isabel's PhD thesis. She observed sensorial laterality and motor laterality in the field before the horses came in, and then every day after they were in the individual stalls. And what she found is that horses were severely stressed already on the first day. And then we had measurements the first week and it got a little bit better. Then they started training. They were again a little bit more stressed. And then we stopped the research after 2 months. After 2 months, stress level was not back to normal. And another study, another research group connecting with us, they were checking the immune system and actually found out that the horses were in immune suppression already in the first week. And they also already in the first week, some of the horses developed stereotypies. And then, of course, Isabel was interested in the laterality. And what happened, the sensory laterality shifted to the left on the population already on the first day. They were in individual housing. So before we had more or less balanced horses, left and right sided, even more a little bit right sided. And then the first day they were left sided from their sensory laterality. And then during the first week, also the motor laterality slowly shifted to the left. So that after just only 1 week, we had horses that were more left lateralized on the motor laterality than right lateralized. And we were really shocked by this finding because I expected it would take much longer to change motor laterality. And also observing stereotypies after 1 week already, this is also an indication that the horses were really stressed. As we can say, so the state start, which gave us the start for this or supported this research right now, this year they starting the horses from group housing. So they really took the results serious and now try to change something. I'm really happy. I will be really happy to see what happens with the horses in group. They start from group housing.
Interesting. That is, I have listened to that now so often, and Isabel and I have discussed that a lot before her talk in the academy. But I'm still getting goosebumps when I'm listening to it because I think it's so important and it's so easy to just change the management a little bit more towards equine welfare.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's so we've got young, happy horses that are balanced, and just within 1 week we screw up everything. Yeah. This is
unbelievable.
Yeah, this is really bad.
I saw a question flying past in the background about whether if a horse is left-eyed, it will also be left-footed. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the person who asked that.
Andrea.
And the answer is really, generally speaking, no. As Constanza just said, the natural split between left and right is fairly even, but more horses are left lateralized than the sensory laterality. So the two are distinct measures. And whereas they overlap and they sometimes move together, as in stress situations, they are actually independent of each other. So you can't think, oh, well, my horse always puts its left foot forward when it's grazing, therefore it's left-eyed. Not necessarily. You need to look at both of them separately.
Super. That was very important. Thank you. So I have another. Now people are starting to ask questions. That is a good thing.
We don't kill anyone.
No. Questions are always, it's really difficult when you're doing this online stuff to encourage people to ask questions. And then they are going home and are set because they didn't ask. So Carrie is asking, how much does our nervous system impact our horses?
There's also not so much research on it. I just know about one study and they studied handedness. So, and they really found out that also human handedness impacts the horses, the horse's handedness, and of course also their stress level. If they have to balance a crooked person or something like this. But nervous system also does not only mean handedness. So there is no study on sensory laterality, as I know. Would be really interesting also to
see. There are studies on the human emotional state and how that affects the horse.
This is true.
And yes, there is a big effect there. That the horses are very aware of our state of mind, yes.
Yeah. I guess this is also the reason why we are handling horses traditionally from the left side. Or what do you think?
I think it's part of it is tradition. nothing in the past. The reason why we still do it is tradition, because there was this tradition in the cavalry and the military that the soldiers have the sword on the right, and you don't want to swing your sword over the back of the horse, so you get on from the left. But I think it's the horse as well. I think there are two sides to this coin, because even in wild living horses, as Constanza said with the Mustangs, even in newborn foals, even in horses' interactions between themselves, there is still a laterality there. And in horses interacting with each other, in both friendly interactions, so when they're grooming each other and they're nuzzling each other, switching advice for each other, it's more often left to left. And it's also more often left to left for aggressive interactions, when they're fighting, when they're biting, when they're kicking. It is not huge amount more, but it is more left to left. So no, it's not just the tradition. There is a preference for the horse there as well, and it's been a happy coincidence that it goes with what we wanted anyway. But then maybe we've also, since the military tradition, selectively bred horses that are more left sided. Maybe not intentionally, but maybe that's been a byproduct of it.
I also, you keep telling the people it's a happy coincidence, and most people do much better mounting the horse with their left feet or their left foot. And this is funny. I used to have a children group, Voltige, and all the years I had this group, I had just one girl that was better on the right, to mount the horse from the right. And they have never mounting horses before. We always trained this left and right. And she actually preferred from the right. And all the others really were fighting to get on the horse from the right. Just, yeah, so it's a happy coincidence. And good thing it works that way.
I think there is some evidence to suggest that more people, that left leg is more often the supporting leg. Like when you're jumping, for example, more people jump off the left leg. So that would also make sense with the mounting, that you want your supporting leg in the stirrup first, and then you do the more intricate moving your foot over the back with the right foot.
Yeah, super interesting. You know, now I have a background in academic art of riding, so we have a very strong tradition for doing a lot of groundwork and gymnastical groundwork anyway before we are starting to launch even, and before we are starting to sit up then eventually. So I guess that's a good thing, that we also can start to work with both mental and physical factors before we are overwhelming the pony.
Absolutely.
We already said yesterday, sometimes it's good that tradition has an impact, or a positive impact, on our ponies. So let's try to wrap this up here before we are running really late. What do you think is there for the future to be done? What are you working on right now? You have been already putting some keywords in here, but what is your wish for the future, for future research, because it sounds like there's so much work to do. Wow.
Kate, Constanza, you want to start, or me? for me, it's really difficult.
Where do you start? There is so much.
Right. Yeah. Because we just had a meeting this afternoon with somebody studying hooves, and a student joining us and asking for a good topic for the CZs. And we said, just start. Get going, because you can do whatever you want. There's almost nothing in the field.
Wow.
So, yeah, so hooves and laterality, no research. So brain development, almost no research. So development of laterality from the foal to puberty, no continuous research in no species. So also, my favorite now is really starting with the foals, because I really want to know how laterality develops, and to have a better impact or better impression about what's normal and what's already a housing or a handling effect.
And I find the cognitive bias side, the optimism, pessimism side, absolutely fascinating. Well, I think we're just scratching the surface with that, and I think we're going to find out a lot more about that in the future, which is then going to give us all kinds of windows into how the horse is seeing different kinds of situations. So that's a field I'm particularly interested in. Whether I get to research it myself, or perhaps I can help other people do it, I don't know.
Yeah, here, you know, here at Academia, we're usually working for connecting science and practical work a little bit more in daily life, because it's often not rocket science. You just have to know what to implement, and then it's so logical and makes things so easy. So therefore, I would like to thank you for giving us another very important piece of the puzzle that we can implement into our daily work. And if we are summing this up, if we are wrapping this up, laterality can be a very important indicator for equine welfare. Laterality can be a very important indicator for stress behavior. And on the other side, I think that is my biggest takeaway again and again, that it's fluid, right? It's not fixed. It's a fluid process, and we can decide every day, making things a little bit better for our horses, and then also laterality will improve or will change, maybe.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And that is, I think, for me, this feels like a very hopeful approach, that we don't need to freak out because my horse is so left-sided. We can just take it as an indicator and can see, okay, how can I influence my horse to the better? What can I do for my pony that life is getting easier for him?
Have you got a Messi or a Ronaldo?
Yeah, exactly. So I already said that yesterday. I will repeat that again also in English. I'm really hoping for an online course that more people are having access to this kind of knowledge. I'm really grateful for you as a group being so engaged of giving public presentations and talks. And the next summit is coming up anyway. So maybe one of you is interested in presenting something. So thank you for tonight, for now.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners. It was nice to talk to anyone, to all the people of them.